Welcome to The Afterglow. The Afterglow podcast gives women, we're talking to you, the permission and tools to live life according to your own rules.
Yes, this is a platform to educate and empower women identifying humans through intriguing conversations with courageous Canadian women who are breaking down limiting beliefs and outdated rules. These women have done it, are doing it, or can provide tools for you to do the same.
We are Julie Watson
and Liz Doyle-Hermer.
And we started Afterglow, our yoga studio, after years of staying home to raise kids. Now, as podcasters, we want to help others do the same. Step into your own power. It's time to shake things up and get real about who you are and what you want.
The Afterglow is your next act. It's what came after you did what you were told and instead decided to do what was in your heart. It's how you have reinvented yourself. It's your vision for the next 40 to 50 years. It's when you took your power back.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome back to the Afterglow.
Yes, welcome back. And look at you. You look wonderful. No one can see you, but I see your awesome new haircut.
I know. This is really the topic of the day is the new bangs, the fringe. It's really the most important subject we need to discuss right now.
We do. It's all about the bangs today.
Okay, I have something for you. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to come out really loud enough, but
I love surprises.
Can you hear it?
Yes. I can hear it.
Welcome back.
I love it.
Thought that would be appropriate for our short hiatus. I mean, it was a hiatus, but it was a little bit longer than expected, but we're here.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. I know. Yeah, I think, you know, it's a break, but it's been so much going on for everybody, ourselves included. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot has happened in the last little while, which is encouraging for us to actually sort of switch gears a little bit and really think about what direction we want to go in with the podcast, which obviously we think the podcast is amazing. We love it. And we've gone in a direction where we have taken like badass Canadian women. And if this is your first time tuning in, then go back and start at season one, episode one, and continue, because there's these women who are so inspiring, have so much to teach us. And then we realized, like, right in our own backyards, like our next door, our best friends, our families. I mean, we didn't realize, oh, they're badass, but we thought we do are in circles of already badass women who have done things, been through things, have stories to share. And we really wanted to highlight some of those people as well.
Yeah, we wanted to tell, you know, I think we had decided we want to tell local stories of local heroes.
Our heroes.
Our heroes, right? And also we've become clearer around what the afterglow means.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Tell us what the afterglow means to us right now.
Well, so you and I, we realized that we had pursued our own afterglow when we started the yoga studio, right? Yes, that was the name of the studio, but that was also us pursuing our own afterglow, where really we stepped away from our life of being stay-at-home moms with seven kids between the two of us. And so we want to go after what we really want, which is start this community, this yoga studio on the beach. And so really what we define the afterglow as, it's what you want to pursue when you listen to your heart and 100% believe in yourself.
Ooh, Liz, I really like that we came up with that. Read it again, because I just wanted to sink in.
Yeah, it's what you want to pursue when you listen to your heart and 100% believe in yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. And I mean, we could just pull that apart and in pieces, but I just think who doesn't resonate with the desire to believe in yourself and the world pulling you away from constantly not believing in who you are? Who doesn't resonate with the idea that, you know, we hear this all the time. You already have what you need inside of you. Like, but like, how do we get it? And how do we know? And so I really, that it just resonates with me so much about how that's what we did. We finally took a step to 100% believing in ourselves. We believed in each other. And then we did this with the yoga studio. And we also did it with the podcast, right?
Yeah.
We were like, whatever, who knows? Is anybody going to even tune in? Is it just going to be our families? Like, you know, our moms calling us going, good job, right?
Yeah.
But people tuned in and they liked what we had to say and they liked what we had to share. And we just believed in ourselves and did it. And I think that that is true for other things in our lives that we have chosen to do and, you know, step forward with.
Yeah. And I think there's two places where you can go astray from your afterglow, right? One is to not actually listen to what's in your own heart. So you're listening to what other people are telling you you should do. And then two is to not actually believe in yourself and your own ability to go after what you really want. And so it's really those two things, really getting clear on what it is you want, not what other people want, and then believing in yourself to go do it. And I've definitely gone astray in both those things, not listening to what I actually want or not believing in myself. So that's what we're most excited about.
Yeah. And I think too, that, excuse me, that sometimes we're like, well, I don't even really know what I want. And I think that part of this podcast and what we're going to bring is women who have also felt that way and their stories of how they learned, right? What they want. Because I think I felt that way at one point too. You know, I was so busy thinking what I wanted was the happiness of my children, which is not incorrect. The happiness of my family, which is also not incorrect, but it's also what did I want for me, which I had forgotten about. And then when I figured that out, which was a task in and of itself, then I had to believe in myself to do it. So I think you're right. I think it's, those are the two pieces. And through this podcast, I think we're going to find some amazing stories about how to get there. Right. And share. And it's like, it's your neighbor next door. It's not necessarily the person on the front cover of a magazine who's done it, because maybe you feel like, well, that'll never be me anyways, but it could be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just as you were speaking, I realized why in our previous seasons, we had focused so much on the socialization of women. And it's because as women, we are socialized, generally speaking, to look first and foremost at everyone else. What do they need? How can we take care of everyone else first? And so that naturally disconnects us with listening to what's in our own heart, right? And then of course, on top of that, there's a socialization around, you know, get taken care of, or, you know, for so long, historically speaking, and we know that's not the messaging now, but for people of our generation, right? It was be taken care of, manage the home front. That was definitely part of it. Not necessarily, you know, go after your own career. Some of us heard that, some of us didn't. But I think that's why we've explored that in previous seasons, the socialization of women. That's still obviously a factor for all of us. We've all been socialized or cultured in certain ways. But yeah, I'm really excited as well about telling the local stories of people in our community right here in the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toronto.
Right here at home. And so what, Liz, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is your afterglow, your new version of your afterglow? Because I think way back in our first season, season one, episode one, and then we interviewed each other. I believe we asked that question. I mean, I can't even really remember that far back, but what would your afterglow be now? I mean, if I were to ask you here today on this podcast on the spot.
Okay, so I'm going to share mine and then you'll share yours. Is that fair? Because I was just about to ask you yours.
Oh, see how unplanned this is? We're so spontaneous. Okay, you go first. You go first.
Okay. So I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like even when I was a little girl, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And then I, in grade 11, I took entrepreneurship. I took all the business courses. I took accounting. Then in my 20s, I wanted to learn how to run a business. I went and I did an MBA. You don't need to take an MBA to run a business. An MBA actually prepares you more for life in corporate. So all this time, I've kind of been circling or tiptoeing around being an entrepreneur. But I had this dream when I was in living in London, England, at the time. This was, oh my gosh, 25 years ago, where I just had this vision of myself owning multiple businesses. And someone told me I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. It's always been that. I've always wanted to own several businesses. When I was living in London, England at the time, I thought, oh, I'll own a restaurant, I'll own a clothing store. It was always, I just loved the idea of owning multiple businesses. And that is still my dream. I want to own multiple businesses. I think what I'm focusing on more now is making them financially successful businesses. I really want them to be financially successful businesses. And for me, I talked about culture, socialization before. It's overcoming my own socialization in order to do that, right? My own messaging that I've heard in order to be able to run multiple financially successful businesses. Mm-hmm. That's my afterglow.
Well, you are amazing, first of all, and having you as a business partner has been the most incredible thing because of your passion in this direction. And I don't know what we're waiting for. Like, why are we waiting to open multiple businesses? Let's get going,
yes.
Liz.
Yes.
You know me, I'm always ready to go. And you're like, okay, but Julie, there's the money is a factor.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, darn it, that money thing.
Yeah.
But I see that in you, and I see you already. I mean, you own Afterglow, you own your own coaching business. Like you are passionate about everything you do, and you've put your all into everything you do, right? So one of the reasons why we are still alive, open at the yoga studio is because of your constant behind the scenes digging into what can we do next? What do we have to do? How can we survive this? And so I believe in you. I believe
Aww,
in you.
I love that. I love that. And I realize what I've circled around it, but never really directly have just gone after it. Right. And I realized I heard a lot of limiting money stories growing up. So with my dad, it was always, honestly, he would sit at the dinner table and he would say, we're going to pay for all we have because he's raised quite religious. And so in his view, having too much was bad. And we weren't overly wealthy. We were definitely middle class. We had a lot, but not excessive. But his messaging was, we're going to pay for all we have. Like later on down the road, we're going to pay. And my mom, every time I would talk about career and career aspirations, and I know she meant well, she would say, oh, don't worry about all that, honey. Just find someone to take care of you. So when I really reflect on those two things, what I heard was, I'm not worthy and I'm not capable. It was a double whammo for both of them. So that, you know, that's still the messaging I'm working to overcome, right? Because that stuff gets wired in at an early age, taking root in ways you don't realize. But that's still the messaging I'm working to overcome.
Well, and I was going to ask you that. What do you think has held you back so far? So you just answered that question. And so what do you think, I have a question, what do you think needs to happen now? Obviously, you're working on those limiting beliefs and the societal beliefs, as well as, you know, your own family of origin beliefs. Yeah. What do you feel like is it going to be an aha moment? Is it going to be a just work in progress? What do you think it is?
I think it's taking consistent action every day towards my dream. Mm-hmm. You know, just really, it feels like bullseye energy, like just directly going towards, rather than what I've been doing in the past, which is sort of circling around it. Mm-hmm. It feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like taking on too many things, or keeping too many ideas going at the same time. And I like that idea of just
all part
like
of that.
Laser focus.
That's what it feels like. It feels like laser focus. And then also recognizing when the old beliefs get in the way.
Yeah.
Right. Just kind of noticing those
damn
those.
Old beliefs.
Yeah.
It's like a separate person. It's like you almost want to like get that person. It's like the beliefs are contained in a human and you want to just get that person out of your life.
How do
you do that? I'm just going to ghost you. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start ghosting my beliefs.
Yeah. So I want to hear from you though. We had our own afterglow together when we started Afterglow, and it's still you know, it's still going, it's still a vision and a dream. But what is your afterglow now, Miss Julie Watson?
Well, Liz Doyle, I would like to also go back in time a little bit and recognize now in my wise old age of almost 50 that I feel like I've always wanted to be a helper. And, you know, I look back in high school and junior high, even in elementary school, and I was always part of the group that was like the helper students. Mm-hmm. And I was in the peer helping group. And of course, all that went astray when, you know, boys and partying became a really big deal in my life and that kind of thing. But I always felt like I wanted to be a helper. And I always had these like ideas of how the world worked and how it could be better and that kind of thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was so drawn to yoga and so drawn to what we created at our yoga studio, was because I could use my skills to help people, but it didn't have to be like I was the expert at the thing. You know, I might have been the expert at the yoga, but I didn't have to be the expert at solving your problems or doing this. I could just make you feel better, right? I knew that it can make you feel better. And it brought me so much joy, and it still brings me so much joy to recognize that and see that in people. And then also, I do feel like, well, maybe there's more to it in the helping people, and maybe it is more about the one-on-one or the group and bringing in people's experiences and talking to them and learning about how the brain works and learning about what we actually can do or what I can do to help people individually, not just physically. And so my afterglow is using the skills that I already have and also growing skills, which is part of one of the reasons that I have gone back to school, which I can tell you about, but to help people and make people feel better. And so my afterglow is really continuing to do what I'm doing, but on a bigger scale, not necessarily reaching more people, but changing, helping to change and heal more people. I don't know what you would call it, like maybe on a more connected level.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so tell us what you're doing. You've gone back to school.
So because I don't have enough on my plate and I just like to do things. No, I actually was really thinking about it, especially through COVID, what my purpose was, because we lost the studio and I mean, we had shut it down. We didn't lose it. It's still operational. Everybody come to the beach, come to our studio. But I had lost my purpose for a while there. Right. And then we did the podcast and that became part of my purpose, but I still was missing that connection on a daily basis of being there for people in need when they needed me or our space. And so I really started to look into that. And it was actually just this summer, and I was sitting in the backyard with one of my best friends. And I was like, you know what? The studio is fantastic. I love it. Top secret information. It makes zero money. So
for us, yeah.
And I need something for my future. Number one, that is going to help sustain me, but also that I would love to do, and helping people is it. And she said, why don't you go back to school for psychology? And I was like, wow, like light bulb moment. And we were literally on the phone, like on Google, figuring out how I was going to do this. And so I'm currently finishing a psychology degree. Well, it's a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I know you all need to know the finer details of this, but I'm going to tell you.
They do.
Because I like to talk about me. Bachelor of Fine Arts with a minor in psychology. And then I'm going to go on and do my master's in psychology and hopefully do counseling psychology and then open up a therapy counseling office for all the peoples who have all the problems, including myself. And we can just grow together.
So over our years together, I've seen you develop deepen your interest in this area, right? This is what you love to learn about in your spare time, right? This is something that you're passionate about. And, you know, you use the words help people, but I really see help heal people. Like it's, and the word nurture comes to me too. I see you as a helper, but I see you as a nurturer.
Yeah. You've said that before, which always gives me a little like warm, tingly feeling inside when you say that.
But it's important. You're a safe space for people, right? Which is really what psychology and therapy should be about. Can you provide a safe space for people so they can do that healing work? That's really who you are. That's what you do. That's what Afterglow is all about. It's that safe space for people to come and, you know, just move or connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
Really integral to who you are. But also going to this next level of psychology feels like it's a little bit scary for you in some mm-hmm. way. And I could yeah. be wrong, but
no.
I'm curious.
But you know what? It's 100%. 100%. And I'll tell you, Liz, you were a big part of me allowing myself to dive deeper into these other areas like, you know, somatic healing, like the nervous system and trauma, because they were always interests, but very surface level. And I would kind of graze over them and learn. And I did a lot of them myself. I did my own EMDR trauma therapy and that kind of thing. But you're so inspiring because when you get an interest in something, you dive in fully and you learn every single thing you can about the thing. And you have a brilliant memory too. So you can also then repeat it back, which I've always had a hard time with. So then thought, I'm maybe not smart enough to do this. And so I think that that for me was my own belief mm-hmm. system that if I go to school and I try to learn and I try to do these exams and essays and all that other stuff, like I'm just not going to be able to do it because mm-hmm. I can't retain the information. I won't be able to explain it properly. But I also feel like, being at Afterglow and watching it happen without these, like, you know, years of trainings behind me, it's a possibility. And then I watched you and I'm so inspired and I'm like, okay, I want to learn those things off by heart too. Like I want to, it interests me so much. So it's not so much that I can't do it anymore. It's that I'm going to try
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, as you're saying that, that's what I'm hearing you need to overcome is this belief that you're not smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go back to our definition of the afterglow, you have this moment, right, of being connected to what you actually want and this moment of, yes, I can do this. And then you have lots of moments of the doubt coming back.
Yeah. Yes.
So, right. And yeah. you just have to keep going back to your afterglow. Like, what is it when you actually listen to your heart and you have that moment of actually believing in yourself? What is it that you truly want?
Yeah.
And for you, it's like, I see this for you, right? And you see it for yourself as well, being a psychologist who can heal people with everything you know. And then of course, we're going to have the moments of doubt in between, and then we'll keep coming back to our afterglow. No, this is my afterglow. I know yeah. this is true.
Well, and we have each other and we have other people yeah. in our worlds who keep reminding us and, you know, keep propping us up or keep, you know, telling us the truth about things and then helping us in another direction. And I think that that's all part of it is this community and yeah. our community and each of us as individuals, the community that we create around us, yeah. right, is really essential to us learning how to believe in ourselves. Because, and I remember when we were creating the studio, that was one of the things I had to learn is I was relying so heavily on the people who were in my orbit at that time mm-hmm. to help prop me up. And when those people were not, I had to learn how to believe in myself because this was something that I wanted. And so I think that was such a growth opportunity, a learning opportunity for me to really start almost training myself in how to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like over the last for sure 5-8 years, maybe like it just comes easier to me to believe in myself. It comes so much easier to me that even in those moments of those obstacles where I'm like, really, what the hell am I thinking I'm trying to do here as I open my textbook and study for an exam with all the 20-year-olds in my class? Like, what am I really trying to prove here? And I think to myself, it takes me a lot less time to get out of that spiral.
That's huge. Yeah. That is huge. I think I've noticed that for myself as well.
Right.
I spend less time hijacked by self-doubt. It still comes.
Yeah.
But I spend less time there. And that's a huge sign of progress, I feel like, right?
I think so. I think that's a massive growth for both of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it supports both your ability to succeed towards your goals and also your well-being, right? Because being in that cycle, that spiral of doubt, is actually a horrible place to be. It doesn't feel good. It's stressful. It's awful. And that's one of the reasons we talk about well-being as well, right? How do you support your well-being as you pursue your afterglow?
Well, I know you have always had a really good routine of how you support yourself. And so are you still doing these things? Tell us what you do.
I still have my morning routine. I still get up, journal, exercise in some way, meditate, have coffee, all of that kind of stuff, but it's shortened. It doesn't have to be as long anymore. I'm less reliant on it, which also feels good. Like, it's nice to have those things, but there was a period of my life where I felt highly dependent on them. Like, if I didn't get those things in, I was stressed about the day ahead. And so that's not happening anymore, but they're still important to me. They still really support me and ground me. What about you? What are you doing to support your well-being?
Well, I'm not a great sleeper. And so I wake up at the last possible second. And I remember when my kids were all in school, I have one left in grade 9 and the other two are off in university now, but we were always late. We were always late for school. And really, I can look back and I can really blame myself, because if they were sleeping, I was still sleeping. And then they might come in and wake me up, and then we'd all be scrambling. And it was just not really a great way to start the morning. So I apologize to all the teachers and the school boards and the staff of, you know, my kids would have report cards that said like 11 lates or something like that. And so what I am doing now is waking up ahead of everybody else, which is really just me and my son, who's in grade 9. And I'm making my tea. And I'm having my time on my own to sort of prepare for the day. It's not a meditation in terms of sitting there with my eyes closed and focusing in on one thing or trying to clear my mind or any of that stuff. It's really just a way to get started on my day on my own and set the pace and the tone. And then I'll wake them up and then we'll get going and we'll do whatever. And the other thing that I'm doing and that I'm recognizing is when I've had enough of everything, when I've had enough of like being with people, because I'm such a people person and I could just be, that's one thing that actually fuels me and that I've been able to take back. And then the other thing is just now, okay, I've had enough and I need to go and I need to be by myself and I need to be in complete quiet and I need to take a nap or I need to read or I need to just lie there staring at the window with a cup of tea. So I think that that's the other thing that's protecting me. And then as always, and I think for both of us, and I know that it's kind of tapered off a bit here and there over the last couple of years, but our yoga practice, you know, just keep coming back to the mat whenever we can. And I think that that is a gift of having a yoga studio, but also knowing how much the practice serves us.
I love morning time. There's something sacred about the mornings and just getting that time in to yourself before everyone else is up is really, if I could sum it up, that's basically what it is for me too. Having that alone time in the mornings by myself, it's replenishing.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how, like I said, I'm going in my 50th year, how it takes you this long to learn some of the things that are actually really good for you and that you actually know and that you actually start to believe in yourself and all that stuff. Like, it does take a long time and it's work. And I think that's why we're here to talk about it, because this is normal, right? Yeah. It's natural. We're human beings and we're having these human experiences of whatever is being thrown at us. But we're still going. And it's, I'm sorry to tell you all that you're never done.
Both our dogs are, I heard both. I know, our dogs
did you
are.
Hear
yeah,
that?
My dog too. Yeah. Well, they're part of the fun.
They are. Okay. So on that note, with children coming home and dogs barking and exciting things to move forward with and exciting things to learn, let's wrap this up and think about our first official episode with our first guest. Mm-hmm. Do we should keep it a secret. I think we should keep it a secret.
Yeah,
we're going to keep it a secret.
But we've got some good people we're reaching out to, good episodes, good guests that you're lining up.
Yeah, exciting things lined up.
Yeah, excited to speak to all of them. What's one thing you would like our listeners to know? Ooh,
one thing. I am just going to take a minute to okay, one thing. The word hope is coming to mind right off the bat. And I just think that one thing that I would love everyone, all women in particular, and you know, everyone to really know that there's always hope when hope seems like it's not there. So there's always hope for your next step. There's always hope for something new. There's always hope for growth. That really is what's coming to mind right now. And so I think that's what I would like to leave with everyone is that word hope. What about you?
I love that. And actually my one thing, I was like, oh my God, what's my one thing? I started stressing out and it didn't come to me until I heard you speak about hope. And I realized the one thing I would want our listeners to know is that it's never too late.
Yeah.
It's never too late. If there's an afterglow that you have in your heart, something you know you truly want in this lifetime, it's never too late. Now is the time, right? We would hope that you would join us in our season this year to explore this topic and to learn from our other guests and to start taking courageous steps in your own life to, you know, find and live your own afterglow.
Amazing. I'm gonna leave us with the song again.
Yes.
Can I let us go out with this fun song?
Yeah.
And also let's just say we are excited to hear about your afterglow, excited to help you find your afterglow.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Well, that was fun. We just want to let you know that this episode of our podcast, The Afterglow, has been sponsored by our Afterglow Yoga Studio in the Beaches at 2034 Queen Street East. Stop by and visit us if you can.
That's a wrap for this episode of The Afterglow. Yet another courageous Canadian sharing her vision.
Do us a favor and lift a sister up by sharing this podcast with others who want to find their afterglow. And let us know, what do you want to hear about? Who do you want to hear from? And what is your afterglow? Slide on into our DMs at The Afterglow Podcast Official and leave us a message.
Did you love this podcast? Be sure to like and rate us on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you tune in. Until next time.